Lowe's knows tough jobs call for tougher tools. The new DeWalt Elite Series Power Tool Accessories are built to last for the pro who doesn't stop. With precision fitment, durability, and impact resistance, finishing jobs faster has never been easier. Shop the new DeWalt Elite Series at an everyday low price exclusively at Lowe's. We help, you save.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
We're continuing this conversation we were just having during the break. We're gonna try to have a little levity today amongst all the suck of the Astros. So we are all in agreement. I'm glad I'm not the only one that the Wonka family is a giant scam. That the grandparents,
not the Wonka family, Charlie,
the family. Charlie's family. Yes,
right. We don't know what the Wonka family is. The Wonka family, for all we know,
I haven't seen the Timothy Chalamet movie yet. So
okay,
I don't
honestly,
know what they're.
You know what?
Willie strikes me as someone
really
who
good.
Had all of his family put into the chocolate river
oh.
so that he could rise to power and become the candy. The candy king of the United Kingdom.
I could see it. I could see it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Charlie's family, they were definitely running a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah.
No, they were too poor to be running a Ponzi scheme. They weren't doing a very good job.
That's a good point.
Disability fraud.
Yeah, but
sure.
But still, their house was like falling apart.
Exactly.
But then he just like, Grandpa Joe just like pops up.
Yeah.
He's doing bad for the Joe name. It just pops up all of a sudden when they get a golden ticket.
That's how it came up, by the way.
Yeah.
Take you behind the curtain.
Yeah, we called
Joe Grandpa Joe.
Yeah, because I was talking about how my 3-year-old son has a girlfriend already, basically.
Yeah. You're going to be a grandpa soon.
Yeah. Now. Can't wait.
Get ready.
Someone relates to the show, but have y'all seen these trash-ass helmets?
Everyone hates the helmets.
Dude, I saw them. I was like, I like these.
They have been, for the most part, getting panned. For those who don't know, they have a... They're going to have three helmets this year. The coolest helmet is yet to be revealed. The original one is staying, but the new one is same deep steel blue, same deep steel blue face mask, but on the side, there is an old English H. It is a very big H. It has a red outline, and it is two-toned. One of the two-toned colors is a light blue, and then there's a slightly darker blue as part of it. I think they look great.
I like them too.
A lot of people are mad at it. I think they're mad at it because they wanted the H to be the other H logo that the Texans were workshopping last year. That logo, honestly, that H logo, I don't think it would be as good. I don't think it would take up as much space on the helmet. It would, and as an artist, I think it would just leave a lot of too much openness. You know,
I hear what you're saying.
You need a big letter on the side of this helmet. I like them. I'm curious as to what the jersey that matches these will look like and how much of that, as they're calling it, H-Town Blue will be used. But I like them. I'm surprised that people are as mad about it as they are. I retweeted it at Galant Says, at Joe George Radio, at Sean A. Babes, if you want to check it out.
It seems the Texans have confirmed that that's real because they just tweeted out a GIF of a sink dripping, which I guess means leak.
I guess so.
I think they're hinting that this was a leak and maybe it's for real. I don't know.
That helmet gave me a pants tent.
I liked it.
I love it.
I'm excited to see what the jersey looks like with it. That might be it too.
Yeah.
It might look weird just as a helmet. Like, what does it look like with the jersey?
Yeah, because I said it looked very, very like college football Thursday night game where like Louisville has an alternate look that they're workshopping because it's just so like far outside the box for what the Texans do or what they like what their colors look like and kind of their imagery that they use. And so it's like just kind of out there. It's also just a quick video in a warehouse.
I think some people, guys, are upset about it looking too much like the Titans. And my solution to this would have been to just have a white helmet.
Yes.
Yeah. I think it would. I also kind of think it would look better on a white helmet.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm with you there.
Because it looks just like the color is the normal Texans helmet. And then instead of the Toro. It's a H.
Well, it looks like the Toro's changing. On the back of this helmet, you can see it. Dylan Delgado screenshotted this so you can see it. Instead of a white outline around the Toro, it's the H-Town blue. So I don't know if that's just this helmet.
It's just this helmet.
Just this helmet. Okay.
I think this
that
is
makes sense
because they're keeping the old school look. So from what I understand, I like it. I think that the white helmet would be a little bit better, especially seeing as the Titans helmet is now navy blue. It would be nice to just have an alternative and to have three different helmets: one's white, one's red, one's navy blue.
Yeah, one's each of your colors.
Right.
Yeah. And especially like white helmets are like a look that works.
Yeah, that would look sick on Liberty White Day. But they're going with dark with the deep steel blue, and that's that.
All right, so two deep steel blues and red helmet. A couple days away from that. A couple days away from the NFL draft. We're a week away. I can't believe it's finally here. Even though the Texans won't pick on the first day, most likely.
it's a week and a day away.
Yeah, it's like technically tomorrow's a week away for the Texans. I don't know. Are you guys like gonna? I know your answer. Are you gonna watch the NFL draft?
Actually, yeah.
Are you going to be watching with any anticipation towards the back that maybe Nick Casario's got something up his sleeve? Or do you think he's going to be like...
What's up his sleeve?
Like moving back into the first round? I don't think so.
I'm not expecting it.
Yeah, I'm not either. I've seen some speculation that the Texans might still try to move back into the first round if there's a player they like, but why...
He's made some moves before, but it is like a... Then why'd you trade out of 23? Because you're probably... Or you're gonna trade back in for 28 instead? I don't know. But I mean, there'll probably be an inkling of it every time. Every time there's a pick that goes by, you're like, I don't know, because there'll probably be someone who's either a cornerback or a defensive tackle that's falling in the draft to 27. That we go, huh? Casario, is he working the phones?
Yeah, those defensive tackles that everyone wants the Texans to take, we might talk about defensive tackles later.
We will talk about defensive tackles. Another unerotic scout report. Oh,
wow. Some people believe they're going to...
How many times is the word thick going to be used?
You'll have to wait and find out.
I would set the over-under at
a lot of blasting through gaps.
4.5 thicks.
Yeah, however many guys are talking about, add one to it.
I think we need to add this to the game. Sean and I need to have a prop bet every day we do this before it.
Or bingo card.
So we'll go with that's good too. So we'll go with thick today. Over-under thick set in that segment 4.5 times.
You'll have to keep track because I'm not.
Okay, we'll keep track, but I'm going to take the over.
Okay, then I'll take the under.
Okay, Sean's on the under.
I like it.
Devonta Smith did an interview recently, and he talked about how it's good to have two receivers on one team that want to be alphas. You know, it kind of spits in the face of NFL history, where if you have one alpha and he doesn't get the ball, it's an issue. I don't know if I agree with Devonta Smith here about having two alpha wide receivers on a team and if it can work long term.
They're both getting paid the same amount on a per year basis, so I guess they can both say that they're the alphas. Just a side note here, the Andrew Tate followers, those cultists, and their obsession with the word alpha and talking about it all the time, the people who talk about the word alpha to me the most are generally the people who are least alpha. Reeks of insecurity. You want to show off this masculinity that you have. I don't know. I feel like not caring is the most manly thing that anyone can do. But whatever. That's just me, a nihilist. But to bring it back to this, it's going to be interesting to see how this works out for the Houston Texans. Now, I don't know that there are any hurt, miffed, or annoyed feelings on Nico Collins' end because they traded for Stephon Diggs in his contract year and also got rid of the void years on Stephon Diggs' contract. So they're both, at least as things currently stand, free agents after the year, barring some sort of franchise tag slappage. I think that the thing with Nico Collins to this point, with last year really being his first big season, I think the idea that he's going to have the kind of ego to say, I'm the number one wide receiver on this team is a bit far-fetched. Again, I don't know what's going on in his head. And most wide receivers, they think they're the best guy in the field, and they're going to think that they're open on every single play. Mm-hmm. But it is going to be intriguing to see the three of these guys, Tank Dell, Stephon Diggs, and Nico Collins, how they handle the amount of targets that they get on a game-to-game basis. With Stephon Diggs, it stands to reason, just based off of his entire history, that there will be some games where he doesn't get targeted as much, and he will be mad. If he shares that publicly or keeps it private, that is what I think will show whether or not he has matured as a player or appreciates the situation here in Houston.
And he just knows that he's a free agent, and he's got to be on his best behavior.
Exactly. So if he's able to keep it to himself, that's great. But there is a scenario where the Texans are going to find themselves in that same spot where there are theoretically multiple alpha wide receivers. You have three incredible receivers on this team.
I get the vibe from Nico that it's not an issue. Because he could have had an argument last year. He led the team in targets with 109. But when you really break it down and look at the targets then separated between Tank Dell, Dalton Schultz, Noah Brown, and Robert Woods, like, there was a lot of targets going around. I mean, Tank Dell and Robert Woods each had 75. So if we would have seen a complaint from Nico, I think we would have got it last year in some shape or form.
Oh, I don't know. You got the new car smell with the young quarterback.
Yeah, that's true, too.
With Davis Mills. Yeah. I feel like Nico Collins has a deep appreciation for the good life after the last 2 years.
Yeah, that's what I think the Texans get to avoid this issue because Stephon Diggs is on a one-year contract. And I just don't get those alpha ego vibes from Tank Dell and Nico Collins. I don't see it. So
it's also the first time any of these guys have been on a good NFL team.
That's true.
like talking about the new car smell, it was like for everybody was just relieved they're on a good team.
Yeah, in general, do you think it can work? Having two top dogs like this? I mean, it's worked well in Cincinnati. Hasn't? I guess Jamar Chase has got a little
poly. But T. Higgins isn't a top dog.
He's going to get paid like one.
Jamar Chase is the clear number one there.
I think it helps to have one guy, if they're not both like first-round picks, in a weird way. I know it like doesn't actually matter, but I think it matters a little bit for Nico Collins being a third-round pick and breaking out in his third year as opposed to if he was drafted like seventh overall. Because then that comes with a little bit more cachet and a little bit more, like, I should be a star-ness to him, where him being a third-round pick and having his first good year, I don't think you're less likely to be like, man, and now they're trading for Stephon Diggs? This is a slap in my face.
He might look at Stephon Diggs from this perspective, too, because Diggs is a fifth-round pick, for those who don't remember. It was such a long time ago.
I forget that.
It is weird to think of that. The Vikings, man, they've had an unbelievable run of wide receivers over the last 30 years or so. But to bring him in, like they found him in the fifth, and you take a look at Diggs' numbers his first couple of years before he goes to Buffalo. It was really in Buffalo where we started talking about him as a top five receiver. He put up good numbers in Minnesota. That's
mm-hmm. Yeah, he was a really good receiver in Minnesota. But yeah, when he went to
1,500 yards receiver.
Yeah, he was like, oh my God.
Yeah, when he went to Buffalo, he was an elite wide receiver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he was good. I mean, he was, like, trading a first-round pick for him, you know, Bill O'Brien, was a good idea. Like, you know, because you got a good asset in return. And it was if I was Buffalo, like, that's, I would do that trade over and over and over and over again forever.
It was also it lined up perfectly with the first time Josh Allen had been good in his entire career. So there might be a little bit, and not to go full Stephon Diggs on Twitter, but there might be a little bit of, like, you know, giving Josh Allen a number one receiver like Diggs helped unlock Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Again, not to go full.
I'm glad you mentioned Stephon Diggs on Twitter, though, Sean, because you found this guy. Not found it, but you find his Twitter to be great.
Yeah.
You discovered him on Twitter.
I looked up Stephon Diggs' Twitter.
He's got some food takes. I'm going to read a couple. The whole convince yourself that the healthy food is good because it's good for you is cap.
Agreed.
But I will say, some of the food is not half bad.
No, I think the biggest thing about healthy food is it takes longer to get to where you need it to go.
What do you mean by that?
Like, you have to do more to
the food. Yeah, you just have to cook.
To make it tastier.
You just have to cook. Yeah. Right.
But I'm not ashamed of this. I like tofu. I actually do. I think it's good.
Soy boy.
Alpha
male.
But the amount of work you have to put in to make tofu taste good is probably not worth it.
Is tofu healthy?
I don't know. What's healthy and what's not healthy?
Healthy is staying away from non-natural food. You can make really...
Touché.
I consider myself a pretty good cook. Mm-hmm. I should probably post more of the stuff that I cook for myself, because I've actually, like, over the last 3 to 5 years, I have put a lot of time in the kitchen. Okay. I'm not going to say I'm, like, about to open a restaurant or anything like that, but I feel like I cook, one, very healthy, in a way that, two, actually tastes good. And I'm with Stefan Diggs in that some of it is actually pretty good. But I will agree with him where he says, like, the people that say turkey bacon tastes better than actual bacon, delusional. Yeah, turkey bacon.
Yeah, I eat turkey bacon.
I have a lot
bacon.
Of ground turkey. Ground turkey takes on the flavor of the, much like tofu,
yeah.
It takes on the flavor of the things that are around it. That's why where I got this little quinoa brown rice concoction.
Uh-huh. You go turkey.
There's turkey burger in it, but there's also a ton of spices, a ton of peppers, like saffron in this.
We did that the other day, very similar with ground bison. It was incredible.
Oh, yeah, I do with the bison.
So too. Good.
Every 2 weeks, I go crazy, and I get 3 pounds of bison and put it in that little mix.
Yeah, I'm turkey bacon over regular bacon now, for the most part.
Oh. I still do the authentic bacon.
But
the peppered bacon.
It doesn't taste better.
No, it definitely doesn't.
It definitely does not. And I think, and anyone who tells you that tastes better is lying.
Diggs also has pancake takes. I want pancakes with the crispy edges, tacos, and chocolate chip cookies without the chocolate chips. So he just likes plain cookies. I think Stefan Diggs and I, we can have our Arnold Schwarzenegger and Carl Weathers handshake over a dislike of chocolate.
Yeah, with chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah, but like
chocolate. Like what?
Nah, but like
they have a name.
No, but then make oatmeal? A different kind of cookie.
Like yeah, no,
go like Snickerdoodle.
He might
or
like sugar cookies.
Oatmeal
or,
raisin.
Maybe like sugar cookies.
Sugar cookies.
Yeah,
that is what chocolate chip cookies. Because
the way that tweet reads is like he gets a chocolate chip cookie and then he like scoops out the chocolate. Like that's how it reads.
Yeah.
Is that he takes a chocolate chip cookie and then he removes it.
Like there's
the
some
chips.
Other ingredient. Like you're asking for like no cheese on a burger. It's like, no, well, if you're asking for no cheese on a grilled cheese, you're not having anything.
You're just having bread. When's the last time? Like, the other day we went and got food, my wife and I and Joseph, and I ordered a burger and it didn't come with cheese on it. And I was like, man, I thought the standard these Good. Days was that it just came with cheese.
Well, no, I
and
hate
you had
that.
To ask for people like you.
I hate that I have to ask for it to be off. It drives me crazy.
Yeah, but the cheeseburger is the standard.
No, it's not. Cheese belongs.
You got to read the menu.
I know. But
I don't have anything for you. Other than you might have just ordered the burger.
No, I did. I definitely did.
And
I just
separately
assumed.
Is the so cheeseburger.
Yeah, I so just annoying. Assumed that it came with
it's,
cheese.
It's so annoying that you'll always have to ask for no cheese. I'm sorry about a fatty
now,
boom.
Do you get
like
upset? Do you get upset when they don't like take off price? Like some place, like
no,
this place.
I don't care about that.
I had to pay 50 cents. To yeah. get cheese added to my burger. So do you think burgers. That if there's a cheeseburger...
He's revealing a lot about himself today.
So, that's why he still has to
pay off
the
I'm trying to help Paul here. If you order a cheeseburger and you remove the cheese, shouldn't your burger be 50 cents cheaper?
Larry David.
I'm just saying.
That is what you sound like right now.
I'm just saying.
I don't care. I will ask for no cheese on it and other toppings not on it. Sometimes I see a burger and I'm like, I like most of the toppings except for the cheese. So I'll just ask for no cheese. I don't need there to be a discount on the burger. I'm not Larry
this
David.
This is a question.
You're even making Larry David mannerisms
okay.
right now.
So question. If it costs $1.50 to take the cheese off, or you know, to put the cheese on, and so you'd be getting $1.50 discount without the cheese, then do you care? Because there is a price that every
dude.
So if it's
dude, if it was $1.50, I think I would eat with it without cheese.
I'd rather.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm asking with Paul. It's like, wait. No, there is a number where you're like, wait, no, I should get my discount.
Well, to be perfectly honest, I don't get it. If I'm going to get a burger, like generally I'm making it myself. Like I actually like to make burgers on my own because you can cook them the way that you like it. You can put on what you want on it too. Generally, when you go to a restaurant, I think that they do vary place to place what burgers are actually good, which aren't. And you can't really tell until it's actually out in front of you. And so I don't order burgers that much, but yeah, like the $1.50 off is not a huge deal to me. Burgers are generally under $20, so and I'm not acting like I have a ton of money. I'm just
yeah.
saying.
Oh,
I'm just saying.
Rich Paul over here.
I'm not. Well, I do own a condo.
board member Paul over here.
Board member, HOA
member
board
of the
member.
Board.
Yeah,
he's in a full suit right now. If you're not watching on YouTube.
Yeah, I'm well on my way to BlackRock, you know, and just like owning the entire United
Corporate
States.
Corporate Paul.
Yeah, just like, you know, gentrifying.
Corporate
and such.
Shill Paul being like, hey, think about the restaurant man. Think of the margins.
Think about the
Tyson
landlords.
Chicken has to deal with.
But no, I mean, if I'm going to go out, I'm probably going to get something that's north of a burger.
Okay.
I can make the burger myself.
Fair. All right, let's go on, George, here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What's the biggest reason for the Astros' slow start? That's next here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
What is the biggest reason for the Astros' slow start? They suck. That's what it is. All right, moving on. We're
taking a break. They've got the day off. Yeah.
We'll get back to him in 2 o'clock.
It's one of those things. Have you ever had a situation, because you are someone who's actually in a successful relationship,
mm-hmm.
what's the longest that you've gone where you and your wife were not talking?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I'm sure it happens with every single marriage where there's like a couple of days where you're like,
When we started dating, she was still in college, so there would be stretches where like she'd be like talking about finals and stuff. Then when we, like then after that she went to Dubai for like 2 weeks and we barely talked.
Okay,
it's like she was just, I don't know, it was such a time difference that we barely talked.
That is a time difference. That's for sure.
I was just like, this is not. I'm like,
Dubai.
All right, we'll see when you get back.
What was she doing in Dubai?
She got family out there.
Oh, okay.
We're supposed to go, but I don't want to be on a plane that long.
Dude, did you see the flooding they got yesterday? The sky was green,
and like the airport is underwater.
Yeah, it was like a Houston flooding.
Yeah,
you know, like the ones that we used to get. Knock on wood. Hopefully, that's not coming back.
Yeah,
I remember it was like not. 3 years in a row, like 15, 16, and then Hurricane Harvey. We had like these one ridiculous flood a year.
I think I moved here April 2015. So then that first one was the tax day flood, like 2 weeks later. And I slept on the couches out here because I was working mm-hmm. 7 to midnight on the network and I couldn't get home. And I lived a block and a half away from here. But I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I can't see. And then it's raining. And then I tried to leave. I only got to that Smoothie King over here, and then I couldn't go any farther, so I slept in the Smoothie King parking lot for like 3 more hours.
I'm sorry.
I didn't want to come back to the office.
No, I wouldn't either.
I was like, I don't know. I don't want to like sleep on the couch, and then Esme walks in.
Yeah.
David Gow, hard pass.
That's a tough math problem you had to do of would I rather sleep in my car or drive back to sleep
in the office? And look, like we've seen it all here. We've seen literal producers fall asleep on the floor with blankets. So like we've seen
producer fall asleep on the
No,
floor
to be fair blankets. To that producer who got fired for sleeping and bringing a blanket on the floor, it was not the first time I had seen it at this company in which someone brought a blanket to work and chose to sleep instead of do their job.
Oh
yeah, it happened once. My first stint when
he was off the clock and he had another shift coming.
No, he was working the board and he went to bed.
Ooh,
and then he was found by his boss.
Oh boy,
and that was not the first time that I'd seen that happen.
Did he get yelled at by the boss?
No, he just got canned,
just right on the spot.
Well, I think they had him.
He woke up to getting fired.
I think they told him to finish his shift actually,
which is even worse that he had to stay up. Maybe he didn't have to stay up.
Did it wake back up, I guess?
Yeah.
Honey Glazed Branham here on the text line.
Oh, man. He just cooked Joe. You know, I got to say, I agree with Honey Glazed Branham.
What? He says, wait, Joe named his kid after himself? I know he was a basic lower-level Midwesterner, but that's incredibly lame. What does he call him? Junior? I call him JJ most of the time. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You don't like it?
You named him Joe, and you're not even calling him by the name
that
is your name that named him after?
Well, my name's Joseph.
Okay.
So
is his name just Joe?
No, it's Joseph.
Okay.
Yeah, his name's Joseph, just like
Does he have the same middle name as you?
No, he does not.
Ah, so it's not a junior.
It's not exact,
true,
yeah.
Not a true junior.
You
that's a half measure.
Yeah, we did that
I don't
with,
like that. That's
well,
a half teardown.
It was like we wanted to take a name from my wife's side of the family.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then when we eventually have baby two, we're going to flip it. The first name will come from my wife's sides of her family, and then the middle name will come from my side.
What are you going to pick for the middle name?
Dude, I don't know.
Probably. Pick something really ridiculous.
I don't have that many like ridiculous names.
You know what my middle name is?
No.
Sean, you know what my middle name is, right? It's Maurice.
Maurice?
That is my middle name.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's my grandfather's name was okay. Maurice. Maurice Gallant. It's a French-ass name.
Did anyone ever just try to call you Maurice?
No, when my mom is mad at me, she calls me Paul Maurice.
Oh. Yeah, my middle name's Steven, so.
Joe Steven!
Now, there's one
Joseph
thing,
Steven!
Now, there's one thing that we learned the hard way with this, okay? If I get in trouble at home and my wife yells at me, she will not call me Joe. She'll yell at me and call me Joseph. The problem is that when she yells at me, the baby cries because he thinks he's getting yelled at. So that's we were not aware that that would happen. That if I get yelled at, he would also think he's getting yelled at.
She used to call you something else when she's yelling.
She used to call me Joe. But even then, like, I think he still kind of gets the vibe that it's towards him.
Joseph does get the anger out. Joey doesn't quite do it. There's no other way of saying it other than just say, Joe! But it's one syllable and it doesn't really exude as much oomph.
Yeah.
You know, the power of the word.
Maybe if you go, damn it, Joe.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. We got to be careful because, you know, he dropped a F-bomb the other day on accident. So
on accident. No, it sounds like that was learned.
Yeah, I don't know how you accidentally do that.
From Joe 1.
It was definitely from me. It was my fault. That's one of those moments where I got yelled at and he cried. So that was just...
Tap the chest. That's on me.
That's on me. That's on me.
Tomorrow, looking at the back
tomorrow we have another chance to make it right.
Look at the back of the baseball card.
Yeah.
That's a me problem. Unlike Jose Abreu, who's not aware when it's a him problem. Because he was once good.
It's not his job to stop his child from swearing after 9 p.m.
Yeah, so they're cooking me right now on the text line.
It's not that bad.
I don't care. Whatever. What am I going to do, change his name? Because of Honey Glaze Branham? A person that names himself after Jeremy? Oh, no. Oh, no.
Damn.
Wow.
What is it? Unless it's Jeremy. I've always wondered that. If it's just Jeremy texting himself. During the show, they're like, "Hey, we're not getting a lot."
You just that.
We're not getting a lot of feedback today. Let me just text in from Honey Glaze.
And that'd be smart to make it a name that's based off of your name, but not a nickname. So it's like no one
misdirection.
It's like so close to be, like no, you know, Jeremy wouldn't actually just call his burner Honey Glaze Branham, but that's what makes it a great name.
You don't. So Sean, here's the thing. You don't know a thing about Jeremy. Now, Joe's told me this, and I think it's incredible. Jeremy speaks in the third person all the time.
What? When did I say that?
See, he's upset because they've bullied him all this time. Jeremy Branham always speaks in the third person. And you hear him with that beautiful broadcaster voice, "Where's Jeremy Branham's water?" And he's yelling at the interns.
It's true.
"Where is Jeremy Branham's burger?" With cheese.
With cheese. His Panda Express. That's his real
Where's game. Jeremy Branham's Panda Express? Jeremy Branham's been waiting for a while. Where is it?
All right.
I'm sorry I shared that, Joe, but like I feel like you don't have to deal with Jeremy speaking in the third person anymore.
Thank goodness. Our 10-minute drill, what's going on in the NFL? Official word on the number 2 overall pick in the NFL draft. We just got that from the Washington Commanders. Not who they're picking, but what their plans are. We'll get to that in Gallant, George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Paul Gallant's never spoken in the third person before, but Paul Gallant wants to let you know that the Highway Cantina is an amazing place. If you came by yesterday to join us, I hope that you enjoyed it. Some new things coming to the menu. The Large Marge. It's going to put your brain in a burning wreckage because you're never going to want another kind of margarita. The Highway Cantina margarita is phenomenal. The Tall Texan one's just $9.75. And guess what? It's right by all of the fun things that you can do in East Downtown, whether it's going to the soccer game, going to the basketball game, or going to the baseball game. Honestly, you should probably have a couple of margaritas before you go to the baseball game these days because not going so well in Minute Maid Park where they can't hit or anything. Highway Cantina also has amazing chicken fajitas, just normal fajitas, your standard Tex-Mex stuff, but also extras like wood-fired oysters, mesquite sausage, a huge menu, awesome spot, awesome location, fantastic place to have drinks whether you're about to go to a game, leaving a game, or you just want to have an awesome happy hour or impress the boss in downtown. It's the Highway Cantina. Tell them Paul Gallant sent you by.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Set, hush.
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
Joe just had a great idea. Perhaps coming soon to a behind us background near you. YouTube.com/ESPN Houston.
We'll keep it a secret for now.
Twitch.tv/ESPN975.
Twitchers, guess why you can in the chat while you still exist. The Commanders GM, Adam Peters, was just meeting with the media. He said they feel great about staying at number two and that they don't see a lot of scenarios where they trade down. And then reports also coming in that they've pretty much made up their mind. What's interesting is that kind of conflicts with the New England Patriots, where the Patriots are saying they're open for business to trade the number three pick.
When you're in
that
spot, you may as well. I've heard some rumblings that maybe the Patriots would trade for Justin Jefferson on the Vikings.
That would be wild.
Would you rather have...
Who's their quarterback?
Eight quarterback. Right now, it's Jacoby Brissett. Yeah, that's how I feel, too.
Jacoby Brissett to Justin Jefferson just doesn't do it for me.
Brissett did beat the Texans once. People forget.
True.
People forget when Tom Brady was suspended and Jimmy Garoppolo got banged up. Yeah, so it also seems like Jaden Daniels is the, per odds, clear favorite to be the number two pick. So the Drake May buzz, J.J. McCarthy buzz seems to be dying down.
Mm-hmm.
As far as second quarterback off the board.
Yeah.
I know there's a little bit of buzz, too, about Michael Penix being a late first-round pick. Heard that from Lance this morning. Maybe Bo Nix is finding himself into that territory. Whatever the case. If you don't have that number one spot, how good do you feel about any of these quarterbacks? Look, who knows if Caleb Williams is going to be good, but he's being billed to us as... a can't-miss prospect. So at the very least, that assumes he's going to be above average on the same level as Trevor Lawrence, who isn't, you know, the greatest quarterback in the league like some projected him to be, but he's still better than most. It's going to be curious to see what happens there.
Yeah. If I was the Patriots, I'd trade the pick. I view myself in a very similar way. If I was the Patriots to the Arizona Cardinals last year, you're a bad football team with a big-time lack of talent.
Yeah, and at least Kyler Murray, there's upside. You really don't have much there.
Yeah.
Like Matthew Judon's their best player, and yeah, it's not good.
What I would be hoping to do is kind of combo what the Cardinals have done, where like they played good football under a new head coach. They also had two first-round picks this year because of the Texans trade. So if I was the Patriots, I'd try the same thing. And then I would trade my pick to the Vikings. And hope that the Vikings
give you the two first round
give
picks
you
and some more.
Two first round picks in next year's first, and then give you like kind of what the Bears got.
If they gave
the top five pick in next year's draft,
if they gave them Justin Jefferson, that would be dope.
Yeah,
from a Patriots fan perspective.
Oh.
Honestly, thinking about this, the odds of the Patriots actually with the third swing at quarterbacks getting the right guy. It's not like they're getting the second swing. The odds of them getting the guy are low. The real question is, though, are they going to find themselves in this spot again? Like, the Bears have found themselves in a spot where they had this opportunity to draft first overall 2 years in a row. That generally does not happen. Ryan Poles deserves credit for making that trade with the Carolina Panthers that he did. Didn't seem like he was going to be able to get it done because it didn't seem like there was that much demand for that number one overall pick. But he got it because David Tepper was impatient. I don't know that the Patriots are going to be here next year.
Yeah.
New head coach. More energy.
Well, and Shedeur Sanders, you know, Deion didn't play for the Patriots, so Shedeur Sanders can't play for the Patriots.
True.
Ooh, that is true.
Foster's so, racist, too.
Or I guess you could have Quinn Ewers. It's not a great... Or Riley Leonard, I don't know.
Carson Beck.
Like, I would just, like...
Paul's making faces.
Yeah, this is...
Jalen Milroe.
Move on.
Yeah, I
Jalen
just...
Jalen Milroe, kill you.
Hey, you want a wide receiver, right?
Yeah, I don't.
Okay, Bill Polian. Who's the racist one here? The Bostonian or the guy who said the quarterback should play receiver?
Let's see. Deshaun Watson, he's throwing the football again.
Yeah, he can throw it 40 yards.
Woo!
That's almost as far as Case Keenum.
Is it?
Keenum could throw at 40.
Then they took him out for a Hail Mary. That was like
that was like 65.
I was like, the other 40.
I was like, how far really was
Davis Mills? That poor guy. That was the worst Hail Mary attempt I've ever seen. Who was that against? Was it the Titans?
Yeah.
Oh my god!
It almost cost them the game.
It could have cost them. He didn't fumble.
He was so close.
He was holding like a loaf of bread. Frosting.
Pat McAfee had Bill Belichick on yesterday. It was during our show,
right? And we were wondering if Belichick would actually get asked about that ESPN article that suggested that Arthur Blank was told by Robert Kraft, do not trust Bill Belichick. We also found out that Belichick was not even a finalist for any of the teams that were looking for a new head coach.
Yeah, and McAfee, so he disputes this a little bit.
They all push back.
I don't know.
The whole show pushed back, which is interesting because it's ESPN on ESPN Crime. The detail, as highlighted by Pro Football Talk, that seems to be perhaps the most, it's the least concrete detail. It seems like the sourcing of Arthur Blank being told by Robert Kraft not to trust Belichick is a stretch, but it makes for a juicy quote. So I think that's what the McAfee show is pushing back on. But also, Pat McAfee is about to do a draft broadcast with Bill Belichick, which they announced on the show.
Yeah, if you were Bill, would you address this? Or would you kind of like let it go?
If I'm Bill Belichick, I'm going to do what Bill Belichick's always done, which is, yeah, let it go, ignore it entirely, keep it to myself. Loose lips, sink ships.
Yeah, it's interesting. I read the article again, just because I was curious. I was trying to get a vibe on like the sources. It was very Patriots heavy.
Would you want to weigh in, say some article came out after, I don't know, say you and I have like 20 years in a row, like the best radio show in Houston. And then all of a sudden, 20 years later, an article comes out and it's like, Paul thought he needed more meat, Paul time, or something like that, and et cetera. But I didn't tell you that.
Uh-huh.
So you just see this out there and you're getting it from like a third party or whatever. Would you feel like you needed to weigh in on that publicly? Because that's the situation that Bill Belichick is now in. Or do you want to take
that's
the high
interesting
road?
Question.
It's tricky for us because we are talkers by nature. So generally, you always want to talk about.
I would lean yes. I would address it, just because.
Would you give a PR statement, or would you say Paul sucks?
I would. It depends on how. Like, if I believed it, honestly. Okay. Like, if I was Bill Belichick in this situation, and he believes that Arthur Blank cost him a job. I mean, Robert Kraft. I would go on the offensive. Like, if our show broke up and then I was trying to get a job somewhere else and then it was like, Paul Gallant tells Barrett Sports Media that Joe sucks, then I would address it head on.
He sucks and blows.
Yeah.
And he's cheap. He kept talking about one bet that he lost.
Yeah. Hey, we got one
bet. $10.
We're still on our
No, it's the Astros over.
Yeah, the Astros bet's the one.
Unfortunately, it's more than $10.
There's still a lot of season left.
Yeah,
you might have to separate us.
Not for 93 wins.
Who's the guy who talked us into it?
Matt, I think he's going to be on with us next week.
Paul, you might have to separate us.
Yeah. I think the guy who convinced us about the Astros to go to the World Series.
I'm definitely giving him a dirty look and bringing it up.
I like that.
We're definitely going to have to talk about it with him because I'm pretty sure he's going to be on with us.
So wait, you guys got strong-armed into laying down a
bet? No, we're like, from your perspective as like, you know, as one of the guys who runs the book, what do you think of the Astros over 92.5? And he was going through how they're, you know, it's still, you know, like minus 110 or whatever it was. And then he was like, the real value is on the Astros to get back to the World Series. Not win the World Series, because that's harder, but just to get to the World Series. Because we have two Astros bets. We have over 92.5 wins and then going to the World Series.
I think he is right about that latter one being the only one that you should have done. So it sounds like you put this extra one in there.
Yeah.
But I mean, also, we've been talking about alphas today. Alpha move, two juicy steaks with rosemary and massive slabs of butter on it. Beta move, consulting somebody else about what you should bet on.
Well, we were just asking for advice and you talked us into it.
Just doing a segment on a show.
Yeah. And then we bought it hook, line, sinker. Also, I think we were going to, I was going to do it anyways.
Can I be bad cop with this guy? This guy who's hosting us. I'm like, yeah, I don't understand why anyone thinks that you're, gambling experts know what they're talking about.
Well, honestly, He runs the sports book.
Okay.
So maybe he didn't think it's a good bet.
Yeah.
And he suckered us into it.
Ultimately, he worked for the sports bet
to take our money.
Sports book, and guess what? He just made the sports book $150.
Yeah.
He just stole from you. Dude.
Yeah, he got us good. So we'll see if it goes to any better.
Dirty look. Yeah. Dirty look coming your way, Matt.
Show bet coming next Wednesday. Texans Super Bowl. Texans over 10.5
And Matt's going to be like, I love it.
I love it. All right. Hey, we'll be at LaBerge next Wednesday. When we get back, we got this weird interaction yesterday with Caitlin Clark and Greg Doyle. Reporter out of Indianapolis. It was just weird. We'll talk about it next on Glatton George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
So, we've talked more about Caitlin Clark on this show than I ever thought we would talk about a women's basketball player. And Sexist it's because
pig.
She's a star. Like, she is...
the brightest star.
Yeah. It is a... it's interesting. Like, it's...
she shines bright like a diamond.
Like, people complain. I saw another TikTok today of people talking about her salary versus Victor Wembanyama's salary. I'm like, okay. Like, this is...
her salary versus those OnlyFans stars, like it Cancun
is,
salary.
This is apples and oranges. It is not the same thing. But she met with the media yesterday. She was introduced, and it's just whatever. It's a normal press conference. Don't care, whatever. And then it started to go viral. Weird interaction between Caitlin Clark and Greg Doyle.
Hi, Caitlin. Greg Doyle, Indy Star. Real quick, let me do this.
You like that?
I like that you're here. I like that you're here.
I do that at my family after every game, so.
Okay, well, let's start doing it to me, and we'll be get along just fine. So, question is.
Joe, I'm doing it to you right now.
That's just so, like, okay, so what he's doing is he's putting up a heart emoji with his hands.
The Jeremy Pena heart hands emoji, the one that made all Houston women pregnant instantly, which is apparently a ripoff of the Taylor Swift heart hand gesture.
Mm-hmm.
That also makes women pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So,
and apparently made Greg Doyle pregnant.
Yeah, so Greg Doyle does the heart gesture to her. And it just leads to this painfully awkward just interaction between a reporter and a player in any sport. Like, if... because this is what I imagined when I realized what was going on. My first thought was like, could you imagine like Mark Berman doing this to Jeremy Pena? Like, just
it'd be insane.
It's
what if I did it?
Brian McTaggart.
Okay,
doing
now
it.
See,
but what if I did it?
Now see, Jeremy Pena's in the know about sports.
I sang to Jeremy Pena. What if I did it?
That would be. I kind of want you to.
Could I get away with this?
To Jeremy Pena?
If I ask this question at the press conference, because most of these press conferences are dull, boring affairs. If I ask that, would people be responding the same way they are to Greg, who has turned this into a future my column? And by the way, we're not even done with all the Greg Doyle awkward moments in this press conference.
Yeah.
But could I do this? Serious question. I truly don't know. One of my biggest fears is ever seeming creepy. And as a 35-year-old man, you realize that, you know, the more that you, I don't know, need a bonk or two when you're on the air, perhaps the more creepy I would sound. Do you think I would have been able to pull that off a little bit better? I definitely would not have said that last part.
Yeah, that's where he went wrong.
That's the first part's
viral. The first part, or maybe it goes viral, but everyone's like, what a weirdo doing this.
Yes.
And then he probably honestly gets more of the, gets slapped with the like journalism criticism of like, that's not a question.
You're
like,
not a professional.
That's not how you conduct yourself at a press conference, which I kind of agree with. I kind of agree with this is a clown move by I guess before yesterday, respected newspaper columnist.
Yeah, he's out.
Dude, I would say
no. Just the respected parts, the part that
I think
changed.
I think the respected part is probably just questionable in general.
He is one of the old school columnists. I will give him this. There are few local writers who are as relevant as Greg Doyle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he wrote for CBS Sports for a while, went back to the Indy Star. He's been writing there for a while. He is the, like, he is the last.
He's the John McClain of.
No, because McClain's always been a reporter.
Always local.
Well, McClain's always been a reporter first.
Oh, okay.
You know, not a columnist.
Yeah.
Doyle is, like, the last of the Rick Riley era columnists.
Mm-hmm. I got you.
Right? Like, now younger than Rick Riley, but same vibe, same style, provocateur, gets into the mix a lot.
A Bill Plaschke type.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
I'll give him credit, I don't care. Landry found this. Greg
How
Doyle in 2023.
Enemy.
He asked Shane Steichen this last season if he was making a political statement at a press conference because he was wearing an Indianapolis Colts sweater with the Colts logo and there was a square around it with like rainbowish colors. It was the Crucial Catch Cancer sweater. And like Steichen had to explain to him what it was. So it was October this last year. And Greg thought he was going to be like, are you making a political statement wearing a rainbow, like a pride flag right now? And in reality, it was he was supporting.
He was wearing NFL-issued gear.
NFL-issued gear.
See, but so had he asked about it, and there's no snark or playfulness in it, that can actually come off as a good question.
Yes.
It would be unprofessional if he saw that. It was like, what's that? Gay. Like that.
Yeah.
That
would
have been
bad. Well, you want to kiss
me? Yeah. That would have been bad. I think the problem with Doyle here is not everyone has heard all of the audio from this, Joe. So he wasn't done. There's actually another moment.
Okay, I have not heard all the audio.
In this press conference. And it's equally weird. And if you combine these two together, I don't know if Greg comes off as patronizing towards women's sports or weirdly like looking at Caitlin Clark as some sort of object, but figure it out for yourself. More Greg Doyle questioning at this press conference for Caitlin Clark yesterday with the Indiana Fever.
Star, hi. You just were given the keys to that. What are you going to do with it?
What am I going to do with them? Hopefully we're going to win a lot of games to start. She's going to help us out with that.
Awkward laughter from them at the podium. And you had some chuckleheads in the media choir that are also adding to that. What are you going to do with that?
So that is Caitlin Clark.
That, yeah.
Because it's the way he's talking about it sounds like he's talking about a car.
Pretty much.
I mean, I'm one of those people that I would probably laugh out of feeling uncomfortable in that moment.
Yeah,
I'm out loud just being like, dude, what are you doing?
I would be uncomfortable, but I would be laughing at him because no matter what your take on Greg Doyle and you know the larger issues that it speaks, whatever. Greg Doyle had a very bad day at work yesterday.
Yeah.
that is what it boils down to. Is that both times? It also maybe he was just rattled. After whichever one came first. But, like, both times when he got to his question, like, he just seemed so, like, the delivery of it was so weird. And, like, it was like he was surprised that he got called on in class. Like, he was just like, so, you just got the keys to that. What are you going to do with it? Like, that's barely a question, dude. Like,
yeah.
Like, if you're going to ask, like, so how do you see about implementing her in the offense? Like, the biggest star in the WNBA's history has just fallen in your lap. Well, like, that's got to be crazy, huh? Like, to go with the way he did is so insane.
Yeah, what a bizarre day for Greg Doyle.
Very bizarre day.
And then his whole column is just about him.
That's the funny thing.
He apologized and then said, column coming. And what's it going to be about? It's going to be about a learned experience that he had about how, hey, women aren't objects.
Yeah.
And I learned the hard way that I sounded like I wanted to bang Caitlin Clark.
What a weird day.
Someone in Chicago should like ask these exact questions at the Caleb Williams press conference.
Can I have a hug, Caleb?
Yeah.
I noticed when you lose, you hug your mom.
Hey,
can I have one?
Caleb, what do you think about my fingernails?
That would be funny. All right. Who is the most fixable on the Houston Astros? That's next here on Glotton George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.